teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberly. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
We're going to get into something this morning. I want you to go to the book of Romans, and we're going to start here in the book of Romans, in the 11th chapter. We got something stirring around in our heart when I was in California. I examining myself in light of some of the things that were being preached, just, checking my heart, seeing what the Spirit of God was wanting to say to me about what was being said. And he kept reminding me of the healing ministry that he gave us. But the healing ministry that we received got to be really stirring up in my heart this past week. And, I want to talk about that this morning because the Lord just put this in my heart to just explain to you things that God has dealt with us about and the anointing that's on my life. We would think, on the natural mind would think, well, that's drawing attention to a man. But I want you to see what Romans 11 says here. The Apostle Paul spoke often about what God had anointed him to do and called him to do. He said in verse 13 of Romans 11, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, I magnify my office. He's not drawing attention to himself. He's a human being like all the rest of us, without God, he's nothing, just like all the rest of us. So he's not drawing attention to himself. He's drawing attention to the office. And Jesus did the same thing everywhere he went, according to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And then, of course, we see a record of it in the Gospels. He would go and he'd stand up and he'd say, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he has anointed me. And he would tell the people what he was anointed for. Amen. And you have to tell people, because if you don't tell it, then they can't believe. And then I like to keep telling it because it encourages myself. I write these things down because if the Lord says something, faith is required when the Lord speaks to your heart about something just as much as if he speaks to you through the Bible. Now, I don't mean what he speaks to your heart is equal to the Bible. But he'll speak to your heart about specific parts of the Bible in ministry that belongs to you, all of us have different things that we're called to do and anointed to do. Might not be fivefold ministry, but you understand. So, just through our walk with God, the Lord, just following the plan of God for our life, the Lord has step by step talked to me about the healing anointing and the healing ministry that he gave to us. And so we're going to get bold about that this morning and tell you what God has told us. I was up in Canada. I believe this was 2011, if I remember right. Right here it is. Wrote it down. I got all these things written down if I can just find it in my notes. September 1, 2011, up in Toronto, Canada, Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy were up there ministering. And Dr. Dufresne was ministering. I don't even know if it was on live stream. I don't know if any of you saw it. It might have been live streaming. I don't know. But he was ministering, and I don't remember what he was talking about. And I'm sitting on the front row just minding my own business. And he got over here and he just literally jumped on me in my chair. Shocked me as much as it would shock you if I were to just jump on him in the middle of the service. But he just jumped on me and he got Dr. Dufresne in my lap all of a sudden. And he ministered to me, laid hands on me and all that kind of stuff. And he said, you're not being bold enough about that healing anointing. Oh, I got rebuked, I got corrected. Well, I'm going to get bold this morning about it. Amen. Like I said, I'm not drawing attention to me. I wouldn't choose me if I was God. farm boy from Pennsylvania, grew up milking cows and plowing fields and running the fields, No real education to speak of other than a high school diploma. Got that, made through that. I was just glad to get out of algebra class and English class. I like gym class, but anyway, so really no education, no highfalutin. There's no big shots in the body of Christ. I like Dr. Frank said that this week. There's just only one big shot, and his name is Jesus. And they crucified him, so, just don't know. So we're not talking about a person. We're just talking about God chooses to use people. And once you really realize what God's doing in your life, you realize a couple of things. Number one, you realize, well, if it wouldn't be me, it'd be somebody else. So it's not me that's somebody special. How many of you know it's all, anything that any of us have, it came from the Lord. And we just say glory to Him when things happen. We don't glorify a man or draw. You know, God uses people. How many of you know we're His hands, His feet. He uses His body. But it's not His body that's to get the glory. It's Him that's to get the glory. Amen. So Paul said, I magnify my office. Amen. So it is an office. And all offices have an endowment of the Spirit of some kind in them. I mean, it might not be the healing anointing. It might be something else. But all offices, you know, there's the fivefold offices Ephesians talks about. They all have some sort of endowment in them. An endowment is some sort of supernatural faculty of the Spirit. Or supernatural part, something supernatural in it that's from the anointing that's on that person's life. Supernaturally. Now, I remember back in, let's see here. Well, it was the summertime of 1986. I was out on the streets of Tulsa, I was between Bible school years, you know. But it was 86, 86, 87, somewhere right in there. I'd have to go back and look at it. But I was on the streets ministering. I was really out ministering with a team of people from another church who was street witnessing, you know. So I was out there, and we were downtown, in the downtown part, and I ran into a drunk man. Not literally, but I came in contact with a man down there. He's drunk. He's got a brown bottle, you know. I mean, a brown bag with a bottle in it. And but anyway, I just walked up to him, started sharing Jesus. Well, I noticed instantly he's drunk. He's not able. Yeah, preacher. You know, he's not getting it. He's just having fun, you know. But I mean, if drunk is fun, how many of you know what I mean by that? I don't mean drunk is fun, but just making fun of me. So I just had it in my heart, come up out of my heart, pray for him that he's sober up. So I just said, can I pray for you? And he said, sure. So I prayed, Lord, sober him up right now. Now, I'm telling you, just God is my witness. You know you go to hell for lying. But that man sobered up. And he walked over there. I didn't tell him to, but there was a trash can. He walked over there, and he put that bottle in that trash can. He walked back, and he wanted to hear what I have to say. So I shared Jesus with him and led him to the Lord. But anyway, that was... downtown the streets of Tulsa. Well, I was so glad. And then I told him, because of the church I was out with, they had a bus that came down there every Sunday morning, I guess, and picked people up, you know, that didn't have a ride to church. And they would pick people up and take them to church. So I told him, you know, I gave him some materials and booklets and you know, printouts from the church. And I told him about the church bus and told him when it would come and told him how to get it and everything and what time. So, but he, and I walked away, turned around, was looking for somebody else to share the Lord with. Well, as I walked away, now the Spirit of God started talking to me. He said, now, because the man had told me where he lived. He lived in an apartment, I think, with two or three other people, and they were homosexuals. Well, as I turned to walk away, and I'm just sort of rejoicing over what happened, and I don't know, probably less than 50 feet away from him, the Spirit of God just dropped on me. And he started talking to me. He said, now, that man's going right back to where he was. He's going back into that, you know, where he lives, in that apartment, where all that sin and the wrong atmosphere is and all that. And he's going to backslide. He'll be right back where he is or where he was before you ministered to him within a short period of time. And my heart sank because I was all excited. And thank God there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. But to know that they need more than that was what God was talking to me about. How many of you know getting saved is only the first step? We got to get our minds renewed. We got to be washed in the water of the Word. So the Lord spoke to me. He said, he's going right back, and then just in a short time, he'll be right back where he is. You know, because you go back into an atmosphere like that, and they find out you prayed the sinner's prayer, they're going to mock you, and you know how all that's, you know how the world does. Oh, now I think you think you're something different, better than us now, huh? You know how they do all that. But so, but the Lord spoke to me about that. And my heart went out to him. And then something hit me. I didn't know at the time. In fact, it wasn't until more recent years that the Lord spoke to me. Something hit me. The anointing hit me. And I, in my heart at that moment of time, I said, I know what I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to doing. I'm going to dedicate the rest of my, whenever that anointing hit me, I said this in my heart, probably not out loud, but I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to feeding people the Word so they can live victoriously. Get the Word into people. Now, from that time on, I had that desire on the inside. And, you know, God started using us in the ministry. We started getting into the ministry and so forth. But every time I'd stand up, it would come out teaching. It wouldn't come out preaching. It would come out teaching. Well, I didn't think much about it because, I don't know, I just, you know, you just walk in what you have. You don't think of, but I think it was about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he started talking to me about the anointings on my life. And he started taking me through different times certain things happened and how the anointings got started. Because I never thought much about when they got started. I just thought, well, I got it. I don't know when it happened, but I just got this. You know, whenever I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, the word of knowledge started operating. It just seemed to be a part of my life from that time on. I was amazed sometimes. Pastor Debbie has it operating in her life. We get amazed sometimes at things that people don't know. Well, don't they know? Don't they know? That's not going to work, don't they know? You know, some of that's just developing your human spirit, not necessarily a gift of the Spirit, but then some of it's the word of knowledge. We'd walk into pastor's church and say, don't they know that man's going to split the church? Well, he's a perfect stranger to us. But sure enough, you know. Hello? We've had that happen many, many times. So certain things start working. But sometimes you never think about when it started working. Except, and whenever I started teaching, I never thought much about where did I get that teaching gift. I know that I didn't have it earlier because I'd stand up, try to make sense. And I mean, I'd be honest with you, I don't even know if I could have led anybody to understand the Bible before this anointing came on me. Hallelujah. But anyway, about 3, 4, 5 years ago, I'm just kind of estimating, I don't really remember. The Lord spoke to me. I'd have it in my notes. But he said, now, that teaching gift came right there on the streets of Tulsa whenever you said, I know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Whenever I spoke to you about that drunk man going right back and he's going to live a defeated life because he's not getting the word into it. He's not going to show up for that bus. You know, some people, when they get saved, you have to treat them like a baby. A natural baby, because they are. They're spiritual babies. And spiritual babies can't feed themselves and take care of themselves. You have to go get them. See, I have people that I can do that for, but a lot of you have contact with people I don't have contact with. So you have to go after them. You have to call them on Sunday morning. You have to say, I'll be at your front door at 9:30. I'll pick you up. Call them during the week. How you doing? Just wanted to encourage them. So excited about you getting saved. But you know God's got some more for you. And you just keep on encouraging. You just have to do that. Why? Because they're babies. You know, Tibby was born here a while back. And, you know, he didn't feed himself. He hasn't fed himself since the day he was born. He had to have somebody else feed. Still has to have some. That's the way we all are spiritually. Man, Pastor, you're preaching good this morning. Well, anyway, so I just said, I'm going to dedicate my life. I didn't know that I had a teaching gift right then, but it started coming out. You know, if you have it, it'll show up. You don't have to tell everybody you have it. It'll just show up. And I just want to encourage you, you know, I have this. Well, if they don't see it, maybe you don't have it. So the Lord spoke to me in more recent years. That's whenever that hits you. I went, oh, you know, duh, one of those moments. It all makes sense now. But that's when that happened. I just wanted to help people like that and get them grounded in the Word. So that was that teaching gift. So anyway, we got involved in healing school years back there in the days right after Bible school. We got to involved in the healing school, and I'll never forget it. We started there in 1989, I believe. Graduated in 87. Seemed like we were involved in the Prayer and Healing Center, but we weren't involved in the healing school. And then about 1989, I believe it was, we came over into the Prayer and Healings. I mean, we went over into the healing school itself. It's a building that they have a prayer center and a healing school. We were involved on the prayer phones before the healing school. So we went over, eventually over 1989, over into the healing school. And I never forget, in 1990, it was August the 15th of 1990. Now, if you don't remember, that was a Wednesday night. That was a Wednesday. We had Wednesday night church, Rhema Bible Church. And we came home. We were house-sitting for some people. They were out of town. You know, we had that one-bedroom apartment. And we were looking for something bigger. But then these friends of ours said, we're going on vacation. You want to sit in our house? Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. You could, you know, the kitchen's way over there, you know. So we were house-sitting. We were just enjoying it. We came home from church Wednesday night. And she was learning the piano at that time. I don't know if you had your piano, but you were learning it. She had first started out on a paper piano in our apartment. But anyway, they had a piano in their house. So she came home from church, and she got on that piano over there, and she just started worshiping God. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take some time here. And I got down on my knees between the couch and the coffee table there in their living room. Piano's on the other side of the living room. And while she's worshiping God, I just said, I'm going to take some time just to get in the presence of God. So I was just doing that. Whenever I was doing that, the Spirit of God, so I heard the Spirit speak to me. I heard Him on the inside. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't, you know, asking Him for it. I just, the Spirit of God drops something in me. He said, I have given to you a ministry of healing. Well, I said, I wrote that down. How many of you know you got to write things down whenever the Lord speaks things to you? Word for word, wrote it down. I have given to you a ministry of healing. Well, I didn't know for sure what that meant. I just said, all right, I know I've got this teaching gift. I'll just dedicate myself to teaching on healing. That's what I did. See, that's all I didn't know what a ministry of healing meant. But you see, ministering healing is not teaching about healing. Ministering healing has to do with ministering, imparting. There's something there that I didn't even understand whenever He spoke it to me. In fact, I didn't understand it for a year. Approximately a year, I'm estimating. I don't know exactly. Because for a whole year, I went, never laid hands on the sick in the healing school where we were ministering. I always let that up to somebody else. Now, any believer can lay hands on the sick, you know. Mark 16, 17, and 18 says believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. All believers. All believers can lay hands on the sick and, you know, tell them about what belongs to them and they can recover just by a point of contact. Laying on hands is a point of contact. And sometimes God will use somebody with just somebody that's just not in the fivefold ministry. I don't mean just to mean they're lesser. You know what I mean? But trying to distinguish between the two, that He'll use them. There'll be an anointing imparted some because the Holy Ghost lives inside of them. Sometimes that'll happen, but it won't be something that they have happening. That anointing happening all the time. That endowment for the healing ministry is those in the five goes to those in the fivefold ministry. So, but see, I didn't know. You know, what that meant, I didn't want to assume something. I've given to you ministry healing. I just decided I'm going to stick with healing then. I'm loving this in healing school and I'm teaching there. So I said, but I was sitting in the back of the class in the afternoon healing school class, and I'll never forget it. My hand would, sometimes it felt like pins and needles. Sometimes it was like it was hot. Most of the time, kind of felt like pins and needles, right in the center of my right hand. Now, I didn't know for sure. I was just trying not to make things up. How many of you know you make things up, you eventually get found out to be a fraud? So I just thought, well, because I was sitting at the back table. They had, some workers back there just kind of helping with the service from the back in case anything needed to be tended to in the service. Because, sick people, they sometimes need a little help. They're under a doctor's care or something. They might need a little something. So anyway, I'm sitting back there, and I figured I must have had my arms crossed because, there's some blood vessels right under here. And I figured maybe I had the blood vessels off, whenever my hands were there like that. And, I thought maybe, it's just pins and needles. I'm just telling you how I thought. And so, but it never happened until the man that was conducting the service would call the healing line and lay hands on the sick, or sometimes just before that. Well, for after a year of that happening, see now right there, you get in trouble for lying, but right there that thing just hit my hand, just as real to me. Amen. It was in my hand out there in California. Doesn't mean I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick. But so anyway, I said, I'm sitting back there and I'm still thinking, well, it just keeps happening at the same time. It never happens all week. Never happens while he's preaching. It happens whenever he's getting ready to lay hands on the sick. And I'm starting to think, well, maybe there's more to this than I just, But anyway, one service, after probably about a year, that minister called me forward after he laid hands on the sick. And he said, he called me forward and I came up. He said, hold out your hands. So I held out my hands. And he put his hands in both of my hands. And he said, obey, obey. When you obey, there will be an increase. And that anointing hit me and I went out. And I'm laying there and I said, well, I was thinking this in my mind. I was thinking, well, now I can say for sure. Because here's a confirmation.
Yeah.
Because I'm my heart's trying to tell me this. But, I'm not wanting to make anything up. But he confirmed it now. See, that's what some things are. Some things are, somebody said, well, I never get called forward to get a prophecy. I don't know why. It might be because you're like me. You aren't listening. You ought to thank God. Me, see, if you're not getting called out and prophesied to, maybe you're listening and you're hearing okay. So don't think the ones that are coming up are the ones that are the spiritual ones necessarily. Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe they're so dull, you know, they're not getting it. Wake up, you know, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. So I had to be, you know, spoken to audibly by a human being speaking through the Spirit of God to get it. Ooh. Thank God for help. How many of you are glad He's merciful? If you don't get it the first time, He'll keep on talking to you and trying to get it through to you. So I said, all right. I'm not a spiritual rocket scientist, but I get this. Lay hands on my hands and say, obey. I can understand that. You understand what I'm talking about. Might not be the brightest light in the bulb in the spiritual chandelier, but I'm getting this. There's hope for all of us, isn't there? So I got it. I said, all right, I get it. I see what I'm supposed to do. I'm to lay. Obey means you got an anointing in your hands. Lay hands on the sick. So I think it was one of the next services within that week, I know for sure, because that was a Thursday, last service of that week that minister was there. I would do Friday afternoons, but the next service, I think in the AM that I preached in, after I taught the word, I called for a healing line. I said, here goes. Somebody said, how do you do this? You just operate in it by faith. And so I said, all right, here goes. Afterwards, I'm going to lay hands on the sick. And then I called up the people that wanted hands laid on them. And I laid hands on them. And I'll never forget it. The second person in that line had lupus. I don't know if you know, ever heard what lupus is. It's a disease of the immune system. There's different varieties, but the immune system doesn't recognize the body. And it'll start attacking something of the body that's, it's supposed to stay there, but it'll attack it as an enemy. And people, their face will pit in, you know, if it's attacking the skin, or it'll attack organs, you know. And so it really is a terrible disease. And so it was interesting because that person was healed of lupus. The second person in the line had lupus and was completely healed of lupus. I never forget it. Years later, I think maybe two, three, four. You know how things run together. You kind of forget how long. But we were in a Holy Ghost, it was a camp meeting or Holy Ghost meeting or something in Rhema. And there was one of those services where it's just wild. I mean, people were out in the Spirit everywhere. And we were after the service is over, we're trying to get out, holding on to a pew, you know. And all, way over there, somebody said, Brother Jay, and I couldn't tell who it was. But when we got over there, finally, it was that lady that was healed of lupus. She said, still healed, completely healed of lupus. Hallelujah. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's just wet. But it's interesting how that started out. Because, you know, in later times, more recent times, I'll put it that way, the Lord spoke to me about he said the endowment that He gave me during that 2010 camp meeting when Jesus came up here. And Dr. Frank said, Jesus is standing right here. He said, me as well as some others, He said, come up here. And Dr. ministered to me about, He said there was going to be a time when there was going to be an increase of this healing anointing. Is that what He said? Yeah, and that's now, you know. Well, the Lord spoke to me about some things there, but then later, He spoke to me about cancer, but I didn't realize then that it was a category of diseases He was giving me an endowment for. Yeah. Out in California, I think it was, I got all these dates up here, I could give them to you. But the Lord spoke to me while I was waiting. Dr. Frame was going to have me lay hands on the sick. And He spoke to me and said that, and along with that endowment to heal cancer, is the endowment to heal gnawing and chewing diseases. That was the strangest term to me. I asked the Lord, because I didn't understand what He was talking about until I talked to a nurse. What does that mean, gnawing and chewing? I kept thinking about a term in the Old Testament. Remember that we've been redeemed from sickness in Deuteronomy 28. And other translations say wasting diseases. Wasting means something's wasting away. And I kept thinking of that term, but I didn't know in modern day, what would that be? What is that? So I talked to Sister Sandra back here, and she said, yeah, there's a whole category. She gave me a printout. Whole category of diseases. They don't call them in the medical field, gnawing and chewing. But it's basically a disease that eats away at the body. Autoimmune diseases. There's a whole bunch of those, but they all are autoimmune diseases. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? So It's interesting that the very first person that was healed by the laying on of hands was an autoimmune disease. That's what lupus is. Amen. I just think it's amazing. I mean, we in our head couldn't put all this together, but as the Holy Ghost leads us, we start noticing these patterns, you know. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. We've had, I think, on the road, two or three other people that we know of healed of lupus. We were traveling all those years and healed of lupus. Two of them, that's why I say two or three, because I think there was another one that's kind of fuzzy right now, but two of them were healed up in Granger, Indiana, a mother and her son. Both of them had lupus. We got under that anointing one night, laid hands on both of them. They were completely healed of that. Not a single symptom left in their bodies. Hallelujah. I can still see their faces. That was such a time. It was marked in my spirit, that time where those two came forward. Just, you know, you can't do it in your own power, but you can do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. I asked the Lord later, I said, why did you use that term, gnawing and chewing diseases? He just simply said, because you would know it didn't come out of your head. Because I've never heard that term before, gnawing and chewing diseases. And I wouldn't have said it out of my head that way. How many of you know you aren't sitting around thinking up things you never thought about before? I never thought about a disease being a gnawing or a chewing disease. I just love the Lord. He helps me. Anybody need help like I need help? Praise the Lord. Well, we began to minister as that anointing came on us. We began to minister to the sick. And that's not necessarily Mark 16, 17, and 18. That's what God gave me is not believers laying hands on the sick. Now, all believers should be laying hands on the sick. Praise God. Hallelujah. But all believers are not standing in a ministry office that has an endowment in it along a certain line, something that happens over and over again. Praise the Lord. So when the Lord said to me, I've given to you a ministry of healing, he wasn't talking about what every believer does. He's talking about, in fact, I was down in Brazil and the Lord clarified this to me. Just a whole lot of revelations come in the last, since 2010. 2010 to the present, God has said more to me about the healing ministry in my life than he has in all the years of healing ministry all before that. And I could take, really we could take three or four or five services to say it all. But down in Brazil, he said to me, concerning the healing anointing, he said, because I was meditating there, a lot of times whenever I get out of town, I just meditate on other things other than the pastoral office, you know, because that's how God's using me out there. So I'm just feeding my faith. And I was meditating on here in Mark 16, you know, believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover in my name, you know. And I was meditating on that, and the Holy Ghost spoke up in my spirit. He said, what I gave to you, said to you back there in 1990, I've given to you a ministry of healing, is not what it says here in Mark 16. That's what the Holy Ghost said to me down in Brazil. He said, the ministry of healing is one endowed with either gifts of the Spirit or gifts of healings. Remember 1 Corinthians 12:28, gifts of healings. Or it's someone who I have endowed with a tangible healing anointing, according to Mark 10:1. Hallelujah. Or maybe a degree of both of those together, or all different people are different, you know. Depends how God chooses to use you. I got that and I understood that. Well, I realized that, you know, every believer there in Mark 16 can lay hands on the sick and should. But notice what it says. Believers will do it in my name. That's how you're ministering. You're ministering by the authority of his name. The authority of the believer, you know. And, you know, just through faith. Thank God we have faith. Are we up the creek without a paddle if nobody's around with a healing anointing? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. How many of you know God doesn't limit himself like that? He's got a lot of ways to do different things. But anyway, God does set people in the church to minister this way. Amen. So someone that has a ministry of healings is especially endowed by the Spirit in the area of ministering healing to the sick. Amen. And it happens in their life on a more continual basis. Those who have a ministry of healing, they stand in a ministry office. You understand? It doesn't do away with what every believer should be doing, but this is a little different. Now, praise the Lord for the word. Now, you know, in Jesus' hometown, he stood up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. So he had to tell the people what he was anointed with. Why? Because it won't work. Just because it's there, it'll work because somebody knows it and believes it. Amen. And the bolder we get about it, the more it'll manifest. So I'm just getting bolder. Amen. See, I have to discern my place in the body of Christ. That's what the Lord was reminding. Dr. Frayne was preaching about that out there. You know, not discerning your place in the body, you become weak and sickly. I have to, and some die prematurely. I have to be faithful to what God's called me to do and anointed me to do, or else I'll get in trouble. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get in trouble. I want to stay faithful, and I want to hear well done, and that's going to have to be us operating in what God's anointed us to do. Amongst other things, you understand, this is just this part of what God's called us to do. So we're gonna do our part. Dr. Frayne this past week was showing how Jesus, whenever he broke bread and did the communion, he broke the bread. And we know that represents Jesus' broken body so ours can be healed. But there's another side to that, that what he was the body of Christ when he was on the earth. But he took his body and broke it into many parts. You and I are a part of that body. See, there's the physical body of Christ, which is, of course, now at the right hand of the Father. But now there is the spiritual body, which is us, all believers, you know. And so, but whatever anointing was on Jesus was broken into parts into the body. Whatever Jesus is doing today, he does through his body, just like whatever your head decides to do, you've got to do through your body. So we have our part. If you put all of our parts together, you'd have the anointing that Jesus had. But we have to bring our part. What's your part? He said, not discerning your part there in 1 Corinthians, we can be weak and sickly. If we don't bring our supply to the work of God, it can cause us to die prematurely. And with that thought in mind, no sir, no ma'am, I'm going to obey God. Remember Brother Hagin said the Lord called him up to heaven and said, kneel down before me. And he knelt down before him. And then he put his hands, remember, Jesus put his hand in the palm of each one of his hands. And that healing anointing was, he said, I've called the anointing and given thee a special anointing to minister to the sick. Amen. And he said, stand upright on thy feet. And he stood up and he started talking to him about that healing anointing. And Brother Hagin said, Jesus, I know people get persecuted that have this kind of ministry. I just want to have just a commonplace ministry. He said, just give this to somebody else. He thought he was being humble, didn't know Jesus was angry at that. He says, fire shot out of Jesus' eyes. See, whenever he calls us, he expects us to step it up. He expects us to do what he's called us to do. And he said, who called you? He said, you did, Lord. He said, who anointed you? You did, Lord. He said, well, then you better fear me rather than fear the people. He said, you'll have to obey me or else. Brother Hagin said, I've had some of those or else's. I'm not going there. Anybody else had some or else's? Absolutely. Might not be the same as my life, but you've got something God's told you to do. I said, you've got something God's told you to do. Doesn't mean we're all doing it, but he's told us to do something. Amen. Don't listen to Jesus when he talks to you like you listen to a politician. I'll believe that when I see it. Hey, when he says it, he means it. And guess what? He never forgets it either. You and I are accountable for what he tells us to do. Amen. Anyway, so we began to minister as the Lord anointed us. And so we're taking our place. Hallelujah. I didn't know at the time that the Lord was talking to me about an anointing when he said, I've given to you a ministry of healing. You know, like I said, a year later, it was confirmed, and I had to start stepping out in it. I should have before that. Under that anointing, we've seen many, many people across the United States healed. And as we've obeyed, laid hands on the sick. Amen. Now, we do teach on healing. We do teach on redemption. We teach on redemption from sickness and how to be healed. You know, sickness is under the curse of the law, how to release your faith. Amen. But the ministry of healing is something totally different than that. The ministry of healing has to do with imparting. Ministry is imparting. There is a ministry. There are ministries that impart through the teaching. But right on the other hand, there is a ministry of healing has to do with laying on of hands and imparting a healing anointing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? It's a transferring and a transmitting of healing power through the contact of my hands onto the sick. Amen. Hallelujah. So we do, we teach as we go. God gave me that in 1986 or 87, whenever it was. I'd have to go back and look. But that's not what the Lord is talking about. Now, as a pastor, you see, a pastor ministers healing different than what God gave me back there in 1990. A pastor emphasizes, see, that's why we haven't seen it as here in church as much. Now, it has from time to time come. Every now and then, boom, there it is. And it's boom more. More often lately, boom. Somebody said, I wonder why. Well, pay attention. Pay attention. Don't be spiritually dull. Pay attention. When the Holy Ghost says something. 2008, out there in June, it was on the 15th of June, 2008. I'm minding my own business in front of Dr. Dufresne's meeting in California. Almost 1 year ago, what's today? 16th. Only 1 year and 1 day ago. Brother Dr. Dufresne was over here ministering. He was talking about an experience that he had where he saw Jesus. He got into the Spirit and saw Jesus. And Pat Harrison was healed and some things that happened. And then he just pulled like a rope over here to where I was, and he said, there's more and more going to have these kinds of experiences. And he stood in front of me, and he said, and you're one of them. He said, I called you, and I had you out on the road. And he started ministering to me. He said, you had signs and wonders on the road and healings. He said, but the unlimited is going to come on you now. And he said, this is where it's going to start. Here a little, there a little. See, pay attention. That's what I mean every now and then. Boom. Pay attention. Here a little and there a little. But it'll begin to grow and you'll move. And he started talking about how it'll just keep on increasing and increasing. Amen. What was it? Wednesday night, 10 days ago or so. During praise and worship, there it came. Boom. Boom. Go to your neighbor. Boom. It hit. Hallelujah. See, it's not always on me. I'm ministering in the pastor's office here. The healing anointing that I have is not in the pastor's office. That's obvious. I had it before I started pastoring. Or even like people. You know, the pastor, you have to like people. Don't look at me in that sanctimonious, holier-than-thou tone of voice. I've met some of you that don't like people too much. I bet if we went to your house and looked on your refrigerator, there'd be a sign there that says, the more people I meet, the more I like my dog, or something like that. But I love people now. But before I was pastoring, see, I had this endowment before I was pastoring. Listen to me. The healing anointing is not in the pastoral anointing. Boy, if I could get people to understand that. Every one of these people that go with us on the road, they say, Pastor, you're different when you get out there. You're different. You operate different. I say, well, ringy-dingy. Amen. See, if we pay attention, we won't wonder, why is Pastor going more? Don't get that whine in your voice. Flow with it. Flow with it. So, because I'm responsible, really that healing anointing, like I said, is not in the pastoral office. Now here we can minister, if that anointing comes, we minister with it. But primarily in the pastoral office, the way we minister to the sick is teaching them how to receive from God, teaching them to use their faith, and we'll lay hands on them. Sometimes we're under that anointing when we lay hands on them, sometimes just a point of contact. You realize that? That not every prayer line, healing line that we are laying hands on people, not every one of those is where that anointing is being transferred. Because sometimes we're just standing in the pastor's office. I say just not to minimize it. I'm trying just to distinguish between other anointings. Amen. Hallelujah. So we teach on the anointing. We teach on redemption. We teach on faith. That's a whole different function, though, than what I'm talking about. Transferring anointing by the laying on of hands. We teach as we go. The Spirit of God said to me one time, he said, you'll teach as you go. Actually, one time he said, if they'll receive the teaching, then they'll step over into a whole other ministry and you'll flow in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, that's just like Jesus. He started out by saying, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, he'd teach. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I minister healing different in the pastor's office. You endeavor to school people into faith, get them to take the word on it by faith. Amen. That's why it's not manifest here in the church as much as it is on the road. It's not just for this local church. It's for the body of Christ. It's for you know, a larger ministry. Amen. Praise God. If you understand that, you won't be so confused. You won't get that puzzled look on your face so much. That anointing's not always in manifestation here at the church. The healing anointing is not in the pastor's office. It has been there at times. Hallelujah. On the road, it was manifest almost constantly. Remember some of you that went to the Bible school, I pulled out one night, just almost the whole night maybe, or a half the night, I don't remember how it worked, but I pulled out, just read testimony after testimony. People turned in. Amen. Of healings from on the road. And they say you only get, what is it? Is it 10 or 1% of the people that receive, they only, small percentage turn in testimonies, you know. So there's a lot of people healed. I remember one night, the glory hit, just like a boom. I mean, it just didn't just hit me, it hit the whole crowd. 80 people in that auditorium were instantly healed. We had raised their hands. Who here? Because that anointing hit. Who here got healed? 80. We just quickly, not real accurately, but quickly counted. It was about 80 people. Hallelujah. So God, that was moving a lot on the road. Well, when God, it started to wane a little bit, and as God's talking to me about pastoring. But pastoring, maybe sometime we'll be able to explain more of why God brought us here to pastor. It's not time yet. Not everybody understands and can't hear it. But there's reasons. God's got a plan here. Hallelujah. Now, that healing anointing, to be honest with you, is getting on some of the workers in the daycare. Amen. Now, when God anointed us, He didn't anoint us with us in mind. He anointed us with people in mind. And by associating with this ministry, some of you in the daycare, for example, are getting some of that on you. We're getting a lot of testimonies out of the daycare. I would say, if you were to ask heaven, what's that daycare all about? He said, it's a children's healing ministry. We've gotten so many kids healed in there, plus all the diagnosis or labels they put on them, ADHD, ADD, XYZ, you know, they put all those labels on them. So many kids getting delivered from that. Maybe we told the testimony. I think you heard about the little boy that went home. Was it for the weekend? I guess his grandmother took him that weekend. And she had something wrong with her arm. And the little boy here at the daycare heard about Jesus and how he heals. And he said, Grandma, I pray for it. Me pray for it. Laid hands on his grandmother's hurt arm, and the grandmother came back and testified, I felt the heat. I don't even know if she's Pentecostal or not. Is she saved? Do you know anything about her? Don't know. She said, she's weeping, came back weeping. I felt the healing anointing come out of my grandson's arm, and my arm's healed. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, what's on us is getting on the daycare. Now, somebody said, well, that's it. It's getting on me now. I got my own ministry. Well, wait, before you run out and fall flat on your face. It's not on you because God called you. Well, He could if He wanted to. But I know a lot of you, He hasn't called you to a healing fivefold ministry. It's you're under this ministry, and God's spreading it out to help you, help get it out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just about as drunk as I can get with standing on my feet right now. It's not yours. You're just hooking up with somebody who's got that on them. Praise God. God could, if He wanted to, He could give you your own. But that's His business, you know. But what I'm saying is don't go out and say, well, I got it now, and I'm going to do it, and fall flat on your face just because you're under somebody else. Amen. Now, so, hallelujah. Where were we before we said that? So, back in 1990, we started out. Now, when the Lord spoke to me in 1990, listen to me real carefully. I got some things I'm going to share here, and we'll go. When the Lord spoke to me in 1990 and said, I've given to you a ministry of healing, that was the beginning of the first phase of my healing ministry. I don't mean the first phase of my ministry. Yeah, I'm talking about this category of my ministry, in the healing ministry. That was the beginning of the first phase of that. What was it? It was a tangible healing anointing. And I don't have time to go into it all this morning, but there's a difference between that and a gift of healing in operation. That gift of healing will just work for one area. Like I talked to you about the gnawing and chewing diseases. That won't work for everybody. The tangible healing anointing is for healing all man. The Bible says all manner of sickness. That's what Jesus gave the 12 apostles. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Amen.
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 Amen. So it's the tangible anointing works by faith. A lot of the gifts of healings don't work by faith. They just happen. People, I don't know, still don't believe it. I got healed. Whenever that's in operation. Amen. So I started out in 1990 ministering. Well, probably 1991 because that first year I didn't do anything with it. Started out ministering with that, and we started seeing healings and things begin. How many of you know as you're faithful, things increase? So it came over to 1995. I was in a meeting in 1995 in Greenwich, Connecticut. We had been traveling for a number. We started traveling. The first traveling meeting we took was in 1990, although we weren't full-time then. We didn't go full-time until January of 1994. I think I was 26 years old. The Lord was taking me through. He talked so much to me lately. He said, I want you to write down how old you were when this happened. How old? I was baptized in the Holy Ghost at 16. At 26, I went into the full-time ministry. And he just started talking to me how fast things went. And see, he wanted me to see the progression. He started talking to me about the progression of it. I never thought much about it until he said, I want you to see how this works. See, if you understand how it's working, then you can flow with it. And he took me back and I said, well, I know there's certain things operating in my life, but I don't know when they started. I don't know how that got there. Like in 19, like for example, angels a lot of times are in assistance with the healing ministry. We saw that through our traveling years, and we see it here from time to time. I saw it down in Playa de Carmen, however you say that, down in Mexico. I was in the healing line, and I felt something come on me from the side, and I thought, oh, there's that healing anointing. And I finished the line. I went back to the hotel, and I was talking to the Lord about it. He said, that wasn't that healing anointing. He said, that was that angel stepping up to your side. I was like, oh, okay, I got it. See, you have to learn spiritual things like you have to learn natural things. If I know something, it's because God brought me into it. I just kind of had to kick me until I got it. But anyway, we saw that through the years. We'd see that, like, for example, in Effingham, Illinois. We were ministering, and I had a word of knowledge. Somebody here has an enlarged heart. I didn't even know what an enlarged heart is. What is an enlarged heart? I had no clue. I never heard that term before. But I heard that word. That's a word of knowledge. Enlarged heart. Who here has got an enlarged heart? Well, some people stepped out, and I'm thinking, I have no idea what they need. They just, what's that mean? Their hearts, did it grow big? I didn't know what that meant. But there's conditions where a person's heart, it gets big, and it's kind of, I don't know what it all has to do with. But anyway, so I laid hands, and whenever I got in front of this one lady, there were several people there. Actually, then eventually I called for enlarged organs. But I stepped up to this one lady, and the Lord said, don't lay your hands on her. So I stepped back. And it was just like a wind, and I looked, and an angel flew up. You get in trouble for lying. But that angel, and I stepped back, and that angel had a heart in his hand, like that, put it right in her chest. I mean, chills went up and down my spine. I'm thinking, yeah. But she was healed, completely healed. But something interesting happened. Whenever that angel came in, an anointing went through the whole auditorium. There was a man on the drums. There was some friends of ours, some pastors from up in Michigan, that brought their worship team to. There was a camp meeting I was preaching at. Brought their worship team. Whew, man, the glory's in here. It's just coming in over here. They brought their worship team and to do the music in the camp meeting. There's different ones of us guest speakers. And so they're up there playing, and I didn't know it, but I knew some of the ones on the team because we had preached at their church, and some of them were the pastor's sons and daughters and their spouses, and they all kind of formed a team worship. But the one guy on the drums, I hadn't seen him before. But he was there, and he started weeping, and he ran out of the auditorium when the anointing came in. I was like, man, what's going on with him? Well, come to find out, he was barely in fellowship with God. The other drummer backed out last minute. They had to grab him and bring him. I mean, he's barely in fellowship with God is what I meant to say. Well, he's sitting back there. He had been out into the world. And I didn't know all this. Never had met him. But he had been out in the world drinking and doing a lot of things, and he had an enlarged liver. You know, you can drink liver, alcohol does bad things to your liver. Or wherever, liver. I don't know where my liver is. Do you know where yours is? Somewhere, I don't know. But that man ran out, and we were over by the pool. The hotel had a pool, you know, all around. The rooms were all around. The pool's in the middle. We were out there kind of fellowshipping with some other preachers afterwards, and that worship team came in with that young man. And they said, the leader, Kurt Cormier, he came in, and he said to me, he said, you got to hear this young man's testimony. And he was completely healed of an enlarged liver, sitting up there on the drums when that angel came in. When that angel came in, not only, see, angels have an anointing, but it's the Spirit. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just like we have an anointing of the Holy Spirit, they're anointed of the Holy Spirit. And when he brought that heart in, that anointing filled the whole room, and he got healed of an enlarged liver. Just what God can do is absolutely amazing. Well, that's just one time that angels, but see, I never knew when that started. I mean, if I'd have thought about it, I'd look back where the first time it happened, but the Lord started telling, I want you to see the progression. That was phase one in 1990, you started in phase one. He said, in 1995, you were in Greenwich, Connecticut, and I remembered it. He said, you remember whenever you prayed through up in the hotel room, and it was time to get ready, and you were thinking, I got to go. But it was just a burden of prayer, and finally you got to pray through, and finally it came out in English. I was in tongues at first, but in English, it started coming out, angel, angel, angel. Hair on the back of my head stood up, because this is all new. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I sensed him coming and standing right behind me, just as tangible and real. You ever felt like somebody, you ever been praying or something, your eyes are closed, and somebody's standing close by me, open up, and there's your wife standing right beside you? See, you can sense the presence of a being. So I almost, in fact, to be honest with you, I didn't want to look, but then I did one of these carnal things, you know. I couldn't see him with my physical eyes, but I would base my entire life in ministry on the fact that an angel came and stood right there. Well, I had to get ready. You know, it'd be nice if I had some fresh breath before I went to the service. Learn that, you young preachers. Otherwise, it won't be the power that knocks him out. It'll be your breath that knocks him out. Be healed. And they go, woo! Minister friend of ours out in California last week, every time I got up to him and talked to him, man, his breath smelled like he was eating dead cats or something. That's just the way I explain things. I know I'm a farm boy, and that's just you city people. I know it's kind of crude, but. So later on in the back room, we were talking about somehow. He was talking about taking care of himself or something. I said, would you like some advice? Before God, I said this to him. He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, it's called gargle. It's called Listerine. I said, your breath, Dr. Dufresne's standing right there. He's a witness. I told him right to his face. I said, your breath could stop a train. See, he's not married, so nobody's there to tell him, so we're just trying to help him. Yeah, he was looking for a skinny wife, and Dr. Dufresne said, you ain't going to get one that way. It's just. Anyway, so I'm getting ready, you know, spot bath and Listerine, and I'm going down. And we were staying at the hotel, which the church was meeting in the ballroom down in the same hotel. So we got out of the room and walked down there, and we're walking. I said, honey, I kid you not, that angel's going to service with us. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. Then it dawned on me. I had taken all that time to pray. I didn't know what I was going to preach on tonight. Oh, you know, because I was in the Spirit over here working on this prayer project. So I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So I got distracted from the angel, and I got to think, what am I going to preach on? And some things started coming up in my heart, so I just started out there, you know, after they turned it over to me. And I started out teaching, preaching. And all of a sudden, these words, this is the first time this happened. I couldn't see them with my physical eyes. Y'all still okay?
Yeah.
See, we're talking about some things this morning kind of beyond where we normally go on Sunday morning services. But I couldn't see them with my physical eyes, but in the Spirit. See, the more I'd teach and preach, the more I'd get over into the Spirit. You understand that? You might start out not being that much in the Spirit, but as you go, you get more and more over into the Spirit. As I'm going this morning, I'm seeing the glory over it. It's kind of waning now, but it was coming in over here. So I said, I sensed these words coming. I said, all right, I didn't know what they were. I don't know how to describe it. I could see them in the spirit realm. I couldn't see them with my physical eyes. But the eyes of my heart could see these words. I couldn't tell what they were. I couldn't tell what it was written out. But I don't know how to describe that. But I didn't know until they hit my head. These came to my head. Didn't normally the word of knowledge would come to me up out of my spirit. See, this is a different operation. The Bible talks about diversities of operations. So it hit, boom, it hit me in the head. As soon as it hit me on the head, I knew what it was. Arthritis. You know, some name of some disease. And so I stopped and I said, wait a minute, folks. Somebody here is being healed of arthritis. And somebody stood up and said, that's me. And the power of God hit them. I called them forward. Some of them didn't even get to come forward, but some of them I'd lay hands on. And that was the last I taught that night because of these words just kept on coming. And I kept on giving things out. People were healed all over that auditorium. It just turned into a Holy Ghost service. People, the pastor said, oh my, this is so great. I've been wanting this to happen. And they had never had that move. There's a kind of new church, you know. So, but the Lord took me back to that. And he said, that's whenever the angels start working with your healing ministry. Because later, I was thinking about laid down in bed. And I said, wait a minute, those words of knowledge came different than they normally come. Normally, they come up out of my spirit. Just something flowed up. But that this night, they came different. I said, that's unusual. I don't understand that. Then all of a sudden, because I had forgotten all about the angel until I laid down in bed that night. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it now. How many of you are like me? You be honest, you're like me. 2 weeks later, you go, oh, you've been there before. Or else your wife says something, you go, yeah, I knew that. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me, that's whenever the angel started working with your healing ministry. Now, all around this time when doctor ministered to me here about the greater healing and anointing and so forth, the Lord told me, that's right close to the same time we went down to Mexico. I think that was the Playa del Carmen one, where the Lord said, you're going to go into that third phase of your healing ministry. Well, he said third phase of your ministry. I didn't know at the time he's talking about my healing ministry. I don't have time to explain all this. I wish I had time because the Lord just started to explain it to me. I'm so glad that I'm getting in on what he's doing in my life, you know. Every now and then we get in on what he's doing. I get it. But he said, you're going into that third phase. Well, I thought, wait a minute, then there was a second phase to come to that healing. Now there's phases to my ministry, but in this healing anointing, there's progression in that as well. Started out in the first phase, just that tangible healing anointing. Second phase was whenever that angel started working with us. Now, what most people don't know is the Lord said, right on that same time to me, he said, Dr. Dufresne ministered to me. We went down to Mexico close to the same time. He said, you're going to step over into that down in Mexico. Now, the Sunday before we left and the Wednesday after we got back, it's two of the strongest healing anointings we've had in this church since the beginning. I asked the Lord why he did that. He said, that's just confirming to this guy. It's a sign to this congregation. Hallelujah. Of the validity of what you're saying. Well, I got to thinking about that later. The Lord said, that's third phase. Now he's talking about the healing ministry. Now there is another phase of ministry we're going in. You know, I don't want to confuse you, but I said, wait a minute now. That's that second. What was the second phase? He said back there in 1995 when that angel started working with you. Well, we went down to Mexico, and we started operating. It fell here before I left. Then we operated down there and fell when I got back. And what most of this congregation doesn't know is, down in Mexico, Brother Andy Silva, pastor, you know he's been here, you know who he is. Down in Mexico, he was ministering one night. He got over in the spirit. He says, where's Pastor Jay? He said, there's 10 more angels being added to your ministry. He didn't know a thing about what the Lord had said to me before I left. I have been so aware of angel activity, especially on the road. But that's what that's all about. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, something else you've seen here at the congregation, this might be operating more here than even the tangible healing anointing, is ministering to bones and joints. One day I thought, wait, when did that start? It just started happening back there somewhere. When did that start? I was asking the Lord about it. He said, you remember back in, he started talking to me about it. 1998, I believe it was January of 1998, we were down in Orlando, Florida, preaching for Pastor Joe Hebert. I'm about done. I know we've gone long here this morning. But Joe Hebert's now in heaven. We loved him. He went on a diet where he put all this fat in his system and had a heart attack, you know. But anyway, thank God he's in heaven. But he's a precious man. He and his wife follow us around down there. We'd get down in Florida preaching. They'd come all over with us, you know. You know, just kind of felt the loss when he went. But anyway, he said, you remember we were down there in Pastor Joe Hebert's meeting, doing that camp meeting in January of 1998. He said, you remember you got in that healing line? And you remember whenever you got up to, actually, you didn't even get to the man. Yeah, I see that. I see more now than I've even seen. He said, remember you were ministering? He said, you got about two or three people away from this man. You didn't know what he came for. Because I just call it a general healing line. But he had come. He had crippling arthritis. He was walking. He was still movable to walk, but he was getting stiff. And the doctor said, you know, you have to decide what position you're going to be in for the rest of your life because you're going to eventually be totally stiff. And you want to be laying? Do you want to be sitting? You know, it's one of those kinds of things. I mean, all the joints in his body just stiffening up. Oh, it just makes you mad. I hate sickness and disease. Just hate it. It's the devil. It's not God. Don't tell me God does things like that. So, anyway, I didn't know what he'd come for, nor did I even... Later I did, after he fell out and laid hands on him, or maybe kicked his foot or something. I don't remember what I did. But anyway, before I even got there, he fell out under the power. And he got up completely free of no restriction of movement. Now, he had already lost his job because he couldn't function right. And he had been trying to play with his son as much as he could before he got crippled all up. Couldn't. And so he'd spend a lot of time with his son out playing ball, but he couldn't even do that anymore. Just not movable enough. Hurt too much. And he had just kind of been, you know, not able to be a father, not able to be a husband, not able to work, you know. That's what disease will do to you. It's not a friend. It's stealing, killing, and destroying. Amen. So, praise the Lord. I didn't even get to lay hands on him because he was there in the line, but I got two or three people away, and he fell out under the power. And I sensed something leave him. I didn't know exactly what it was. At the time, I just thought it was the disease. But the Lord later said, no, that was an evil spirit afflicting his body. And, you know, my, there's so much going on in my spirit. I'm seeing more than I've ever seen. And he said that was when that endowment for, it's a gift of healing, for bones and joints came on you and began to manifest. It was in the second phase, but it was just some extra things in the second phase. Even in phases, there's rooms. I don't know how much we could explain all that. But so that was an additional thing. And that has happened. Probably more people with bones and joints healed in our ministry than any other thing. I would guess. I don't know for sure, but I would guess. Hallelujah. And Pastor Debbie has things on her life. I'm just talking about my life, you know. So, that was phase two. That was not when it started, but that was in phase two. Then we came here that we're operating as a pastor. But what the Lord's talking about now, whenever the Dr. Frank says increase, you know, and so forth and so on, is phase three of the healing ministry. And let me go through real quickly, and we're going to close. This won't take long at all. What is in this phase three of our healing ministry? See, why am we sharing this? Not to draw attention to us, but so we can flow with this. Yeah. Number one, the tangible healing anointing that's been there from the beginning is stronger. Yeah. You understand that. Number two, all those gifts of healings, including the bones and joints, that's there. It's still there. See, God's not taking anything away. He just keeps adding things. Number three, an increase of the ministry of angels working with us. Hallelujah. That's what Pastor Andy was talking about down in Mexico. He's just whipped around. There's 10 angels being added to your ministry. Well, he didn't know what the Lord had told me. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, and we've had much along that line. I don't have time to get into how angels have been working with us. But number three is this endowment for these gnawing and chewing diseases. And cancer somehow, I don't know if there's categories of cancer or what, but cancer somehow is connected to that. Hallelujah. That's the reason. See, some of these things must have been from time to time hitting us on the road from the beginning. They weren't there permanently, but all these people healed of lupus, for example. Something was working, but it must not have been there permanently. It must have just been a taste of things to come or something. But now that's something that's operating in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then, and this is the last thing we'll talk about today, is the Lord said to me, you'll begin to minister to the sick by casting out spirits of sickness.
Amen.
Now, not everybody that's sick has an evil spirit attached themselves to their body. We understand that. We're not trying to say everybody does. Now, sickness is of the devil, but it's not always a personal, a demonic presence personally there enforcing that, you understand? So when do I minister that way? Only when the Holy Ghost shows me that's what's the cause. That's the only reason you... Well, the Lord said to me, you'll begin to minister that way. And there's more to this and why this is happening, and I can't get into it now, but he said, when you will either recognize the presence of an evil spirit by laying on of your hands. Now he said hands. I'll get into more of that maybe sometime. It was just in my right hand. But he said, and then whenever you lay hands on both sides of their body, just like, I didn't remember this until the Lord started talking to me about it. It didn't come out of my head. But he said, whenever that fire won't go into them, you know there's an evil spirit there. And that's one, a sign, so to speak. It's a word of knowledge kind of thing. And whenever that won't go into them, then you cast that spirit out. It'll jump, it'll arc, it won't go into them. You understand? He said either that'll happen or when you get close to them. Now pay attention here. I may be sharing more than you can swallow all at once, but when you get close to them sometimes, he said that spirit, if there is a spirit there, will manifest. That's how the Lord said it would operate. Amen.
Yes.
Well, that was the first part of 2011. The Lord said that. Remember Dr. Frayne, and this is in the process of some of this, the Lord talking to me already. It was just Dr. Frayne confirming it. He didn't know. I'd never said anything to him. But Dr. Frayne right here one time, he said, now you're going to have to minister more on demon spirits and casting out demon spirits. Well, I already had here at the church done a series on that because the Lord was already talking to me about some things. And then he explained it further and so forth. But that was the beginning of 2011, first part of the year. Well, we went in July of 2011. We went down to Pastor Andy Silva's church again. You went with us. I don't remember who else went. But and that manifested. She's a witness right here. I was called for a healing line. I don't know, 3 or 4 people away from that lady. She just started screaming, crying out. And it was demonic, you could tell. Fear. The spirit of fear is what it was in that case. Well, we got close to her, and that started manifesting. I thought, see, when the Lord said that to me, I thought, okay, fine, you know. But then when it happened, I'm like, oh, yeah. How many of you know what you're like me, aren't you? You know, we're all excited about it until it happens. You're like, oh, yeah. Jesus, what do I do? Pastor, come minister. No, see, not anymore. Now I got to deal with it. So we're in a whole realm of learning about that because that's just... I don't know about you, but I'm not really excited about demonic stuff. But we have to help people because people are bound. And it's not to draw attention to the enemy. It's to draw attention to the power of God. Set people that are bound, set them free. Hallelujah. Now, actually, that operation is the first room of the third phase of my... overall third phase of my ministry. There's other rooms in that. But we'll explain more of that some other time.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.